You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Have any numbers come out yet on the third Manning cast? They are now taking 3 weeks off, Stugatz. They are doing this their way, and they're going to have a successful thing on their hands. The ratings more than doubled from the first week to the second, and now you have your viral moment as the Mannings are working blue. Eli Manning impersonating a nine-year-old who gave him double middle fingers had to apologize for going double middle fingers on ESPN2. I don't believe that's happened at ESPN since Pablo Torre did it accidentally on our show. And did he have to apologize for that? I don't remember whether he had to apologize, but more people were obviously watching Eli and Peyton. And it's a good show. They're going to get better at that. That show's only going to get better. It's not going to get any worse, and it's fine the way it is. They had a whole lot of star power joining them last night during the game as well.
They had 800,000 viewers in week one. They jumped to 1.9 million in week two. I haven't seen the numbers yet for week three, but I do know a lot of people. A couple of interesting things happened. I heard Max Kellerman this morning talking about the game and reference that broadcast and not the Monday night broadcast, which is interesting. And people are now upset that Eli and Peyton are going to be gone for 3 weeks, which is funny because they were criticizing that show after the first week.
Yeah, there's a little. I think the hype is getting to be a bit much. I'm already having a little.
Pump the brakes on the Mannings after 2 weeks. Pump the brakes.
I'm ready for the 3 week break. I'm having a little Manning fatigue.
You watched?
Yes, I watched the first week, yeah. And the star power of the second week did not lure me to watch. I like the idea of it. I like the idea they're trying something totally different. I like the idea that, you know, they're doing what Monday Night Football tried to do with Dennis Miller and Tony Kornheiser and just color outside the lines. And it's working. But, yeah, there's a little brake pumping going on here with me.
You mentioned Tony Kornheiser, and I didn't want the day to go by without talking about this for a second because PTI begins. ESPN can celebrate itself pretty well, and PTI deserves the celebration. Television shows don't last that long, and they celebrate 20 years on the air today. And some of you are old enough to remember that time slot used to go to Roy Firestone and Up Close. He did a daily interview show. It was popular, and it was during the heyday of ESPN. And then that time slot sort of died for a while. And then these two newspaper writers came in because it's hard to get a guest every day. Roy Firestone was a very good interviewer. He's actually an entertainer. You should YouTube. He's like a lounge act in Las Vegas. He loves to sing and dance. And he was the premier sports interviewer. He would get you to cry on his show. And so that was a time slot that had some heft at ESPN. And then Tony and Mike came in, and they were questioned. And Stugatz, if you just saw what happened with Highly Questionable, one of the great prides of my career is somehow being able to, with my father, almost get like a day or two from 10 years as a television show. These dudes have been doing that twice as long. Twice as long, and at the center of your daily viewing habit. And even if you've gone off and you've left the grid, you no longer watch ESPN. Those dudes were a part of your daily sports consumption in some ways across 20 years of successful television that, you know, the ratings are down now because they are everywhere across, because streaming is eating everything up. But it's still a powerhouse television show 20 years in.
Their dynamic and chemistry is what makes it that show the show. I remember seeing it like the first time, and it was jarring, and I think it was jarring to a lot of people because you had the thing on the side which was teasing topics that were coming up. But what they did, which was so great, especially for someone like me, It was like the Cliff Notes version of the biggest stories in sports. They gave it to you in like a minute or less, and they just kept moving
and
on.
And how to think about it, right? Replace, yes. Sort of cannibalized SportsCenter, because it wasn't anymore just give me news and highlights. They ended up getting bigger ratings than SportsCenter because they were giving you the news and how to think about it.
But in a half hour, that's exactly right. They would give you all the news, and they would give you two different opinions on, and sometimes they shared the same opinion, but for the most part, they disagreed on how to view that particular topic. It was just such, a smart show.
I don't think for the most part they disagreed. I don't think that, I don't think of that as an argument show the way that I think of First Take as an argument show.
Oh, I'm not saying it was First Take, but I think Michael and Tony, they have some fundamental disagreements
on some stuff. Not too many.
I mean, you would know better. You're very friendly with them and you've done the show. So.
But even when they do disagree, there's a civility to that show that you don't see often. And when you contrast it with Stephen A. Smith and the bluster and the loudness, it just... PTI always seemed like a show that was for adults and a show that appealed to not just diehard sports fans, but to intellectuals, perhaps.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this, as that show birthed a couple of different kinds of pioneering, because that changed television, that graphic of telling you what's coming up next. That was the first place you found it. Now you see it all over business television and everywhere else. Mm-hmm. It'll be the enduring legacy of that show. But am I biased or correct, or maybe both, when I say that whatever judgment I might pass on the argument show, First Take is a contrivance, or, you know, Shannon and Skip just arguing for the sake of arguing because it's content and we're all just fooling around. Didn't PTI feel like not that, a level above that, because of the two guys? And I didn't consider it an argument show, but maybe Stugatz's opinion on this is, yes, the conceit is the black guy and the old white guy, they're friends and they yell at each other and they disagree, but they disagree like friends.
Perhaps I didn't say it exactly the way I wanted to say it. I marveled at their chemistry. I did not know they had a friendship entering that show. I marveled at their chemistry. It just seemed like they were having sports discussions, and there were disagreements, but they were doing it, as Greg pointed out, in a way that was friendly, in a way that you would talk to your friend. I don't agree with my friends on every single sports topic.
It's what they were doing in the
I also don't yell at them when they disagree.
It's what they were doing in the Washington Post newsroom, yelling at each other, cursing, that they just then decided to televise.
It started debate shows. It did. People took that template from the running topics to the two guys just talking about sports, debating one side and the other side, and they continue to run with it. But that's what sparked debate culture as a show.
But there's an erudite quality to both guys. And I think together, you always get the sense that you're listening to a conversation more than a debate. That's the way I always received it as a listener. I was just hearing these two friends, both very intelligent guys with strong opinions, but having a conversation, not an argument every day.
Couldn't you make the argument that it's the greatest sports television show of all time? Like, couldn't you have that conversation?
If we're including studio shows, college game day,
but I'm talking about daily
NBA.
Shows. I'm talking about daily shows. I'm not talking about weekly shows. That's sort of a different conversation.
You think it's better than SportsCenter?
I mean, it has to be that or High Heat with Chris Russo. I mean,
I think that you end up having such a giant cultural imprint because you feel like you know these guys, even though you just saw them on television, and the routine of seeing them age in front of you over 20 years, although Kornheiser has looked that way.
Yeah, they've both been kind of old. It's like a super cranky show where both guys just keep yelling at me that they had something right before, that I called that. Oh, I had that.
Or Wilbon yelling about the arrogant NFL.
Yeah. I mean, this is a testament to how long they've been on television, but I haven't been surprised by an opinion on that show in 15 goddamn years.
Neither have they from each other. That's
like, just Wilbon surprised me once.
No, the two of them surprise each other. It's why Kornheiser loves me but hates doing the show with me, because he doesn't know what kind of feces I'm going to throw around, and he loves doing it with Wilbon because he knows exactly what Wilbon's going to say on everything.
With all that said, I still love it. I still really love it. It's their chemistry. It's their friendship that makes that show. It's fantastic.
And as an old guy, I appreciate that they're older guys too. And it's so hilarious to me, the times I've been on Kornheiser's radio show, the lead-in music while I'm on hold is like Benny Goodman and Frank Sinatra. And, you know, it's like really 50s.
That's your guy.
Yeah, that's my guy. That's my guy. And I think PTI has taken on that vibe because they're both aged. I think they've aged gracefully. And they continue to be a great advertisement for surviving newspaper journalism and flowering in a whole new career. I'm very proud of both of them.
Oh, wow. Very parental right there. Very paternal, even though they're well, Kornheiser's older than you are.
I think
he
is. That's why I like him. People older than me, I gravitate to.
The rare person.
Yeah, it really is. Rarer and rarer.
It's in the conversation for most impactful sports television show that we have ever seen and can't last that much longer.
Are you including SportsCenter?
I mean, whatever. We can argue about it if you want, but I'm just saying, like, you can put it in that conversation. It's not a ridiculous thing to say. And what I'm telling you is how unusual that is to have not just the 20 years, but the intimacy of the rhythm of, especially now that everything's abnormal in the world, they're gonna appear just about every day, and they're going to be comforting to me, and that shows graphics that haven't changed. All of it's going to be something that I'm used to, and it's just going to stay there and be the strongest thing that ESPN has in its daily programming lineup. And they created a block of television out of Washington, whether it was highly questionable around the horn. It was outside of the auspices of ESPN, and it started with those two grandfathering in a whole parade, Stugatz, of print journalists, because he says parentally that he's proud of them. Those guys opened the door for all of this that's around here. People have heard me tell the story that this whole thing is a recreation of me going into their studios when they were in the dungeon underneath where it is that they filmed, and in the room where they were creating the show. I'm like, oh, I want this. I want this in my life. Whatever this is in here that was better than what it was on the air. Just a bunch of people screwing around. I'm like, that's the birth of the radio show, really, Stugatz, for the energy of everybody gets to talk and everything else. That's where I got permission to do it. And they grandfathered in all of these journalists, all the Minas and Pablos and Bomanis, and this age of journalism. They grandfathered all of it, or godfathered all of it in.
Star-making vehicle. GOAT status number one overall has to be SportsCenter, because you want to talk about actually changing it pop culture. That's number one with a bullet. PTI, probably number two, number three, best damn sports show, period, with the original cast. Love that show.
Mm-hmm. It's a good show.
Yeah, it was
ahead of its time.
It was damn good, and I'm not watching PTI at the time that it's on. I'm doing other things, but nighttime after the regional sports coverage is wrapped up concluded, and you go right into best damn sports show, period, loved it.
Was that Chris Rose, the original host?
Chris Rose, yes. You had Tom Arnold, you had John Sally.
Yes. It was a good show.
Marco Farr.
Now, this isn't John Sally and Rob Dibble as well, right? Those were later incarnations?
Yeah, well, they had incarnations of Dibble. Like, Chris Rose was constant. Arnold left after, like, the first couple of seasons. Sally stuck around, but then also left. I think he spun it into, like, his own show, too.
Michael Irvin was also, was he on the
early
stages?
I was just reminded in researching it that Michael Irvin was there for a hot minute.
He's been on everything, Michael Irvin.
I mean, yeah. You can say that again.
Mm-hmm.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Few things feel better than when you're on a roller coaster with no underwear.
Noted.
Try it.
A very weird observation by Stugatz.
You should try it. Don't knock it until you try it, Dano.
Stugatz!
You know what, Stugatz? I reconsider my position. I have not tried it, and so I won't knock it. Please explain to us in as much elaboration as you can why it's so wonderful to ride on a roller coaster with no underwear.
Well, you just get that incredible breeze that you can only get when you're high up on a roller coaster and it's about to go down. And when it goes down, oh, does it feel good? It's like air conditioning inside your shorts. It's amazing. Right? It really is.
This is the Dan Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
I think the nation needs to investigate what happened with the Monday Night Football flex. Ryan Cortez, I sent my researcher on it too, because I was obsessed with, they announced that Monday Night Football was getting flex scheduling. They did, as a part of the new deal. But if you go to the NFL website, and you check the flex scheduling rules, it says specifically that no games can get flexed into Monday night. I think they low-key just removed the flex scheduling thing from ESPN, at least for this year. And it makes sense because there's a lot of logistical challenges. I thought that they would never do a Monday night football flex.
Well, when you say logistical challenges, when would you have to make that change?
There are huge logistical challenges, not just for team travel, but it's the NFL. They're part of that mega enterprise.
Right.
They can figure it out. But let's take me, Cleveland Browns fan that likes to travel to games and support my team.
Mm-hmm.
You're not moving it from a time, which is problematic already when you have a game flex in a Sunday night football.
Right.
I have to say potentially overnight now, I have to change my flight. People like to plan these trips well out in advance. That includes the teams, that includes the broadcast partners, and the person that gets punished the most by it is a regular Joe Schmo. So I understand like the logistical hurdles as to why flexing on Monday night wouldn't be feasible. I just don't understand going through the announcement, having that out there, getting everybody excited, and then seemingly not following through with it. When the league rules specifically state, when you check the rules on flex scheduling, that Monday night is not an option. Did they forget to update the website from previous years? Because I was all jazzed up.
Sure.
About there's some bad games coming up.
Well, they stumbled into a good one next Monday with the Raiders and the Chargers, or I guess this Monday, Raiders Chargers. That's a game that probably didn't seem like it was going to be a good one before the season started, Mike, and now it is. The next week, though, is interesting. I don't know when NBC starts flexing, but the next week you have Colts and Ravens, which when the season began, you thought good game. But your other choices right now are Chiefs, Bills, Cardinals and Niners, and Browns, Chargers.
So I think from weeks...
think about that.
This is from when I was obsessed last night checking this. I think that NBC can flex two games between week 5 and week 11.
Okay.
And then week 12, full go. No restrictions, no cap on how many that you can flex in.
So I just gave you week 5. And by the way, so just so I can be accurate here, Chiefs and Bills is already at 8:20 Sunday night. So you would have the choice between 49ers, Cardinals, and Browns, Chargers over what you currently have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are great games. I love flex scheduling, and I really wanted to flex schedule some Monday night games, and it was met with much fanfare, but I think very quietly we've done away with the Monday Night Football flex. That or the NFL needs to totally update their website, because I'm very confused right now. Look, we're staring down the barrel of Giants at Chiefs on week 8. We're stuck with that. And right after that, we got Bears at Steelers. That's not going to be fun for anybody. But in week 12, I'd like to get Seahawks football team out of there. And potentially like to get Patriots Bills out of there too. That was really cool 2 years ago. Not so cool now. Can we flex them? What's the deal? Because I was told there would be flexes.
Why are we saddled with Chiefs Giants week 8? Like,
because that's before week 12.
Okay.
No matter what, week 12, you can only do two flexes before week 12, and that's just reserved for Al and Chris.
Okay, got it.
I can't believe the show we've done today where we became obsessed with the bunt for about 20 straight minutes.
Well, Dan, they said something that got everybody excited, and it appears to have been a fib. I've been misled.
Either that or someone hasn't updated the internet. I mean, the website.
There's either that, but someone needs, I need a clarification on what the MNF flex scheduling procedures are, because we're already sweating Peyton and Eli leaving for 3 weeks. We knew that would happen. Not necessarily in that block, but whatever. I can at least, at the sunlight at the end of the tunnel is the fact that we can get flex scheduling at the end of the year. I don't think I'm going to get it anymore.
Week 8, we got Patriots at Chargers, Bucks at Saints.
Week 9, which is one of the weeks Mike was focused on, you have right now Steelers-Bears. You know what you could have? Chiefs and Packers. Mike, Chiefs, Packers.
We are wasting the time of Bill Lawrence. He is hearing a lot of scheduling talk. It's like we're hitting him in the face with a speed bag. Look at him. He looks sour. He's got nothing.
What's week 11? What games are there week 11?
Right?
I'm on it.
What games are there week 12?
This is not why you listen.
Hey, we could either listen or we could go look on the internet and see who plays when.
Can you think of any lazier entertainment than talking about the NFL schedule? Don't you expect better from the show?
I got your week 12 slate right here.
I was going to come on and read the TV guide for you guys just so you could know what's on every night and like scripted television.
So I have week 11. Mike has week 12. Which one do you want?
I wish that the audience could see Bill Lawrence's relationship with his son. I will talk about Ted Lasso in a second, but your son has clearly grown up in a funny household, and I think he respects you, but he is funny. How old is he? How would you explain your relationship with him to the audience? Because he's laugh out loud funny, but he's also got like way too much entertainer in him.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got all my kids have the trademark of completely unearned confidence. You know what I mean? Which I think is like something that you can bestow upon your children really easily. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, by the way, I see a father-son dynamic here that has that. a couple of them, actually.
There you go.
Man, you know, I don't know how I know a bunch of you have kids, but I had a boy and a girl, and I wanted two kids and my wife wanted three, so we compromised and had three kids, you know, and the Henry, and he's just a disaster. He couldn't be more fun though. You know,
well, so that's the part I want you to share with the family. I don't know if he reminds you at all of yourself when you were younger, but yes, he's got an enormous amount of unearned confidence.
Yeah. And by the way, and it's getting him nowhere in life other than occasionally when you're nice enough to point it out, you know. But yeah, he's Henry Lawrence Rush Chairman. He's damn glad to meet you. You know what I mean? I think he's going to keep playing that game and see how far it gets him. He's I tell you right now, it's I hope he doesn't. So he's playing water polo this year. And, you know, that's the sport of Speedos. And there is no kid in the world that should thinks whether it's true or not that he should be wearing a Speedo and nothing else more than Henry Lawrence, man. And he'd wear it to school if I let him.
Right. He thinks he looks great. Yeah.
So is he vastly more confident than you were as a kid?
We had about the same. I was as loud as he was, you know, and relentless. But I was not nearly as self-confident. You know, I was still, you guys remember what it was like back then where someone could unravel you in the hallway just by a look, you know, being like, you know, that kind of skeptical jock look with a head nod and then you're an asshole all day, excuse me. I think the kids are nicer to each other now. So there's not as many people aren't being as safe, you know, in the halls.
Is there a little bit of a visual flex here? I don't know if you can move the computer at all. What do you got behind you there? There looks to be some gold.
Check that. Look at that, man.
What's happening back there?
Wow. Like, that's a lot of awards, you guys.
Yeah.
Begging us to ask you, please tell us about all your awards.
Very, very inconspicuously placed.
This is a guest room, and I literally just put them on that table. Now it looks like it's cool. Yeah.
just happened to be there, huh?
Yeah. By the way, that is like a step below wearing it around my neck, like a clock.
And how many Emmy nominations was it? It was how many wins and how many Emmy nominations?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I'd probably guess like 20 nominations and 7 wins if I had to guess.
Sounds like 13 losses, though, Bill.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's be honest now. See, some of those nominations are people against each other, so right. You know. Mm. Yeah.
What was that like for you? That kind of critical acclaim, you couldn't have seen any of that coming.
Nah, look, man. The I'll tell you what's funny. My table was next. It was literally right next to Mike Schur's, and we And you know, had a couple of drinks before, and we were talking, and he was like, he said, you know, I think Dan and the guys, they always try to pit us against each other because they say, you know, I'm a poor man's Bill Lawrence and you're a poor man's Mike Schur and it's all fake. I'm like, and for me, it's not fake. I'm like, first of all, no, I don't accept that premise. I've found it annoying forever and ever. But the, no, look, I think awards by their nature are silly. And so my own personal thing was, they're cool to get because, you know, you get to do more things, make more things that you like and do more work. And that's why they're important. But I went from thinking they were silly and then I got caught up in the joy of it. And then I went in the shame self spiral of actually caring about it too much. And then I got my fake cool on by the end of the night again. That was my plan.
Did it feel like pressure that was any way overwhelming? Because you're confident and you had the success, but good God, it seems unpleasant to endure the pressure of critical acclaim during a pandemic, feel good show of the time, and then to have to do season two? Or do you jump into season two like super invigorated because you're like, oh my God, this is all my dreams coming true?
Yeah, you know, I think if you're chasing, you know, what people are going to like, you always fail, man. You know, it's you guys have all seen, you're all TV and movie fans. How many times have you seen like, hey, John Wick comes out. So here's and it worked. So here's 9 cheap copies of John Wick that no one will care about, you know? And so I think if you try to, you know, live up to some arbitrary bar that's been set, you're doomed. And we were lucky that we kind of plotted out this show beforehand. I think I probably should feel pressure more, but I think it's a goof that I, you know, my only other job my whole life was painting houses, and to actually get paid to do this stuff. I mean, it's literally a stone's throw from getting to paid to do what you knuckleheads do all day, you know?
Well, once you've had that
one, as you know, which is talking endlessly about football schedules.
And I have week 11, Mike has week 12, if you ever want to get to it. But does it get more difficult writing when you've had that big first season? Does it get more difficult writing? Because you have your own standard, Bill. So I'm wondering, with each passing episode, does it get more difficult to write?
Nah, you know what? I'd tell you, I'd be remiss if I didn't give props to Sudeikis in this, too, because he is, everybody goes, oh, it's Ted Lasso. But the dude is the head writer, too. And I think in a good way, I can kind of shovel some of that pressure on him because his face is front and center. Do you know what I mean? And I think that the hardest thing about doing shows and you know, Mike might tell you if he's ever being honest with himself that I don't know why I'm just taking a random shot.
No, you've got but, people need to know this is a legitimate feud, and Mike Schur has been jealous of Bill Lawrence the entire time. Bill Lawrence was always more successful, Mike Schur. And Mike Schur was the poor man's Bill Lawrence. This is a real thing. I don't care what.
By the way, the funniest thing, you guys might not even realize. So part of the Emmys was like you get caught up in it. And then this show, Mike's Hacks, came in and won a couple awards in the middle. And then everybody's like, oh, and so in my head, I'm going, I don't care. And then I started to care. And then if our show loses to Mike Schur's show, I'm going to rush the stage and tackle him.
Hey, good money to see that.
Bill, I know it's been such a big, big year for you. It all started with your appearance on the Greg Cody Show podcast, and then all the Emmys followed. I mean, I can't imagine. But and by the way, I'm still waiting to see the show decal on the background in season 2, but we're going to wait for that.
Oh, for
look real God. Close.
What is your question?
Okay, I'm getting there to it. None. Because, believe
what
it or not.
What is your question?
Okay, despite that buildup, this is actually a serious question, Bill, because mental health has been in the news, you know, Naomi Osaka, Simone Biles, and it's a theme now on season 2, mental health and professional therapy. I wonder how that avenue happened and what the thinking was there and whether that was daring at all or a difficult right to do that.
No, you know, it was something that's near and dear to Jason's heart, you know, and he kind of he wrote that episode, the first season, of him having panic attacks and trying to kind of realistically do it. We kind of dove way into it. There's a killer. You guys watching those documentaries Untold on Netflix? They did Malice in the Palace, and
yeah,
they did killer one on Marty Fish. And as a tennis nerd, you know, I played tennis my whole life. I never even knew why, you know, because Marty was playing in the round of 16 against Roger Federer in the US Open. He just didn't come out of the tunnel. And I never knew it was a massive anxiety attack, you know? And look, I got just as many buddies, and I've heard stuff coming out of my own mouth before watching athletes, you know, of going like, oh, geez, you get paid so much to play a game, just chill out and enjoy yourself. But once you get to see some of these people or meet some of them in person or get dive into these stories, man, they're just kids and they're put under such a white hot spotlight, you know? And so, yeah, it was a cool thing to kind of try and look at the second year, just because it seems like it's coming into the zeitgeist everywhere right now. Yeah.
We were happy to see it for you. I don't know if you do much of this, because I don't know that these things in your mind are based on merit or not, but do you believe Scrubs was a better show, or do you believe, like, I don't know.
And if Ted Lasso?
I don't know if you do any comparison shopping on that stuff, but I don't know where your pride resides on those things. Do you believe it's the best work of your career, or just the most acclaimed?
That's so hard. That's a stone's throw from, it's going to sound corny, from going, which kid is your favorite? And it's Henry. The other two don't listen. No, I had a blast with all of them. Every show, for me, I don't really rate these things next to each other. It's just kind of what their experiences were in your personal life. And so you guys would imagine this would freak you out, is Spin City, the first show I ever created. I grew up watching Mike Fox's, you know, and Back to the Future and Family Ties and stuff. And then to see him saying stuff I wrote, I'll never have that experience again. I'm sure it's like the first time, you know, that you got behind a mic, Dan, and got to, you know, it actually worked, you know what I mean? And Scrubs, I literally still hang out with all those people. I did it from age 29 to 37. I had all my kids essentially on that show. My wife was pregnant constantly, you know, while she was in the show. And then this new one, you know, I think the interesting thing is you reach a point in your career where you're like, oh, maybe I'm just kind of cruising along for a while. And so it's kind of reinvigorating to have a little bit of a second wind, but I don't really compare them, you know, that much.
So you can see growth from here though, right? Because now it's going to be nothing but opportunity. So you're going to be able to feed the creative freedoms you've always, the itches you've always wanted to scratch, get scratched now, right?
Yeah, well, it's what you guys are doing, you know? I think that you get to a point that if you get to not only make things, but make things with people you want and work with the people that you want to spend time with anyways, I mean, isn't that the cheeriest gig of all, you know, is getting to hang with people, you know, that you would spend time with even if you didn't have to work together, and being, you know, able to kind of just watch them succeed, you know, kind of the same way that you got to. I mean, that's the fun of this thing.
Very cool. Happy for your success, Stur. Thank you for checking in.
Thanks. And by the way, email afterwards, just 11 weeks, 11, 12, 13, just
you
to
want
know.
Them? I mean, okay, I'll email them.
You want to just go through them real now, right now, real quick?
Yeah, I'll give you my two cents on what the flex game should be.
All right, go ahead.
Nobody can watch every game. No one has television. Yeah, all right.
I have week 11. It's Giants Bucks. You know what it could be? Chiefs and Cowboys. Chiefs and Cowboys. We're stuck with Giants Bucks.
If only there were a way for every football fan to see every single game, no matter when it's on. That would be perfect.
Do you want week 12 now, or you want us to email?
Go ahead. Do the whole schedule with him. Go ahead.
Week 12, Sunday night, we got Browns at Ravens, so that's not going anywhere.
Oh, my God, Mike. Michael, what are you doing? Don't humor it. Thank you guys so much. It's been a pleasure. See you guys.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous, and if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Lebatard.
Oh, I think Larry Fitzgerald's on the green right there.
Stugatz.
That's Alfonso Ribeiro.
How do you think that Larry Fitzgerald
and
is
the son.
Oh, the son.
To be fair.
Yeah,
yeah. To be fair.
All right, whatever.
Alfonso Ribeiro has a great ass.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz. Start of the day. Start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day. Start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day, it is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day, it is the start of the day.
Would you agree, Stugatz, even though the Pittsburgh Steelers offense has looked super limited, that you can watch Najee Harris and just see it? You can see in Najee Harris, you can see.
Yes.
That you made him Cubano?
I put a Y in there where the J is, but you can see that this is a good player, correct?
Yes, mm-hmm. he passed the sniff test then.
Here's the stat of the day. He has been hit at or behind the line on 70% of his carries.
Wow.
Highest in the league. 7 out of 10 times he is handed the football, he is hit. This is a very unpleasant way to spend your Sundays.
He gets stopped before it starts. I mean.
And that's just the rushing attempts. All his targets are also behind the line of scrimmage, too.
He is fighting very hard for 1 and 2 yards at a time in a very constipated offense. That was their fountain of youth for Roethlisberger.
That was a big plan.
And look at what the Bucs did for Brady. And that plan's not a terrible plan. That's a good running back.
They needed to upgrade the running back. I think they certainly did. I think there's a better running back than James Conner. The offensive line's getting zero push.
The Bucs are talking to Richard Sherman.
Of course they are.
Brady's just bringing them all in. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's amazing that he has 140 rushing yards when you consider the stat you just gave us. Like, he should win the rushing title.
Are we going to do Patriots storyline stuff as Tom Brady returns? I mean, I feel like people have Patriots fatigue.
Are we, or is the nation at large doing it?
No,
because that is cranked up already to about 11. I don't know if you saw the Sunday night promo.
I did. Oh,
went
my
super
God.
Super viral.
Yes.
It's already the talking point on most of the daytime television that I've seen. I know NFL Countdown is actually going out to Foxborough for that game. It's going to post a massive number on Sunday Night Football with this kind of hype around it.
Massive number, agreed. Brady wants nothing to do with it, predictably. He said it's not a time to reminisce. This is business.
Right.
I'm on a business trip. I love that.
And Belichick, likewise, is going to be very sparse with anything that amounts to a great quote regarding this, but we've waited 2 years for this. I mean, it's the buildup. This is what we waited for. The minute that Brady left Belichick to go to Tampa, this game is what we've all been waiting for. And I agree with Mike. I think it's going to be the highest rated game in many, many years.
It's fascinating that you guys would see it that way, and it makes sense. But you're not talking about football there, because as a football game, I mean, maybe that'll be interesting, but it's all story that's grabbing you.
Yeah.
There, this sport doesn't do that well. Basketball does the personality stuff, but this is him going back when no one gets the good exit as a champion, and they're going to cheer him, they're going to respect him. He is going to get one of, and among everything else that he's gotten in his career, just winning beyond any measure of winning we've ever seen. Never mind in that sport, just in general, just the ridiculous athlete for our time. He's going to go back there and he's going to get the ending right by going back there and demanding their respect too, because they didn't value him enough at the end. He won't get booed. He's going to get nothing but a, how long is that standing ovation going to be?
It's going to be long. He shouldn't get booed. There's always a couple of people out there. You betrayed us. You left us. You won a Super Bowl elsewhere. You should have been a Patriot for life. But for the most part, it's going to be a rousing standing ovation. He deserves it. I think even Patriot fans, Dan, have seen, man, that had a lot more to do with Tom Brady being our quarterback than Bill Belichick being our coach.
From a game standpoint, I kind of get what you're getting at. I'd rather watch Rams-Bucks like I did on Sunday as opposed to Patriots-Buccaneers. But I do think from a tactic standpoint,
yeah,
it is a fascinating, I know it taps into the storyline, but you have a quarterback and a defensive brilliant mind in Bill Belichick that know everything the other one's going to be doing. And they know that the other person knows that. How do they match up with that? Tactically, I'm just fascinated by what Belichick does on defense to try to unsettle Tom Brady.
I think the moment that Brady is introduced and the reaction from the crowd is going to be just one of those emotional moments that you remember for a long, long time, because his whole career is building to this. And it's, you know, there aren't that many moments where you get goosebumps or you're moved to tears by sports, but I think this actually could be one for all he's done for New England. And now this is really their one and only chance to say thank you in this manner.
Such a perfect slot Sunday night as you guys yell and scream at each other about flex schedules. That is...
Well, this, you don't need schedules. You don't need records. You just need Brady and Belichick and Brady coming back to New England. That's all you need.
It's so cool just to have football, though, because football by itself is enough. Football to get you on a Sunday or a Monday, football conquers all. The most watched television programs in America, football, football, football. But for a story to be what lures you in, it's got all the elements. It's stardom, it's returning champion, it's the stuff, the tactical stuff that Mike is talking about. I would love to see the Mannings have a second screen experience on this game, on the Sunday night game.
Oh, I can't wait till Peyton actually has a Tom Brady game to do a second screen experience. But this is all just unrelenting dominance of a sport that is drawing you in, because I know Brady is handsome as all get out, and he's become a personality, especially on social media, later in his career. But Bill Belichick isn't going to give you anything. It's just everyone acknowledges, kind of like that Derek Jeter space. Yeah, these aren't necessarily super interesting people, but I'm watching because they are the greatest to ever do it.
They will give you nothing. They will give you nothing for the wrestling promo. Nothing. Zero.
Zero. Less than zero, if that were possible. But this deserves to be a great game. You know, it's one of these matchups that Tampa could win by four touchdowns, and it wouldn't surprise anybody, but it needs to be one of those 37-34 games befitting of these two legendary guys who are suddenly, for the first time, combatants. It's just such a wonderful scenario.
It'd be nice, but I think I want a blowout. I do. I think I want Brady to blow Belichick out.
Well, NBC will do well to zoom in on faces, because I think I'll stay with that just to see if I can get anything on either of their faces, which, by the way, both faces barely move at this point in their lives. But all the questions need to go to Gronk and Antonio Brown in terms of a return storyline, because Brady's not going to give us what we want. He's a veteran. He's played this game. Brown and Gronk, they'll give us a quote.
It is pretty amazing that Gronk's returning too. No one cares.
I mean, right.
He might be the greatest tight end we've ever seen. No one cares.
He is a little bit in the shadow of Tom Brady, but yes, I would say you could make the argument that polar bear doesn't have a precedent, that connection, that the two of them, that it's the two of them returning, that
could Gronk get a ladder ovation?
they will shower Gronk in plenty of love as well. How do these ovations work? Because you know Tom Brady's not going to want to be coming out to the crowd and waving and stuff. They're probably going to try and rope him into ceremony, but why would
won't be a ceremony. No ceremony. For him. The ceremonies are for after your career. There's
but
no.
So how does he get the standing ovation? I'm saying
when he runs out onto the field after a kickoff or whatever. Yeah. When he rolls out onto the field, there will be a deafening. Is he one of the designated team captains? Will he be out there for the coin toss? The vogue thing in the NFL right now is to change your captains for the coin toss every game, so he probably won't be out there for that. But when he runs out to the field to take his first snap as a Buccaneer at Foxborough, I imagine it might be one of those moments where everyone sinks into it. It'd be funny if they actually start the play clock and don't allow for that drama to settle in.
It is such a funny way to see the prism of Patriot dominance, to look at the last 20 years and the way we're talking about this game, and now trying to imagine the Bills, Jets, or Dolphins having a similar type of moment from the last 20 years. Like, you don't even know who you'd throw in there to be a famous person anyone cares about, because of the Patriots just squashing the entire entire division. Making the Bills not make the playoffs for 17 years. The Dolphins didn't win a playoff game for 20 years.
But no one's ever.
And then the Jets are the Jets.
Yeah, but no one's ever had this career. You'll never see a moment like this or a tandem like this again, I don't think.
I'm saying they got to have it, and what should be applauded is the AFC East that night. They should take them off of the field and just the entire AFC East. You want to see why you're this dominant? Here it is. All of these bums.
Here's J.P. Lossman.
Here's Chad Henne. Gentlemen, Joe Philbin.
I forgot about Philbin already.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cleo Lemon.
Yeah. Adam Gase, everybody.
Yes.
Oh, he's a two-time honoree. Adam Gase. He's like platinum level.
You can just do 20 years of that. Rex Ryan's fake teeth, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.